My Lord, that was impressive. All right. Yeah, no more timestamps. You got to find it yourself. Michael Brian Cave, you better run. You're in trouble. Just kidding. Welcome back to the show, buddy. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good, buddy. How are you? Long time no
I'm
talk.
Doing well. It's been a minute. I missed you last week. I'm not saying that anything against Ryan, who came back for a triumphant return of Ryan and me. It just feels weird to say Bryant and me. It just, I called him Bryant twice in the podcast.
And you've known him way longer than you've known me, which is also hilarious.
But Bryant, you and I, like Ryan and me, we've been really close for now for a couple of years. Like we got close like the last couple of years. Our wives were best friends and all that stuff. But you and me, since what, 2017?
We go
it's
back.
Been 7 years. We've been rolling. It's been 7 years. I'm surprised you haven't gotten rid of me at this point. No, it's only been. No, it was 2018 because that was the year that Jameson was born.
Yeah,
because I missed the first like 3 weeks of your training class.
Yes, you did train Alyssa, but we didn't know each other yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although we've said this before, Alyssa, first day in training, she said, you would like, you and my husband would get along. And little did she know, she can't get rid of me at this point.
She played matchmaker.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match.
Find me a find. Catch me a catch.
And we didn't sing last week either. So we've already hit levels today. But welcome back to the show. I'm happy to have you. It feels right to be talking again with you. And also, this might be the most freeing I felt to be able to do the show, because I'll share with folks real quick. Like I was going to school full time every semester for a good 2 years, like right after my son was born. Then I started doing the crew beat. I did the OSU basketball year after year, every season I had something. And now I'm coming to in the days following the end of the Ohio State basketball season. And I have nothing. I have Woo. Nothing. That nothing. Is pulling me away. There's nothing no nothing at I all. Don't
have you sorry.
But I was just in Seattle, which I was pretty stoked about. Last week, if you listened to the show, for the folks out there who did listen and didn't just jump to the timestamp for LT and the Red Stars report, you're not getting a timestamp this week. You gotta listen to the whole damn thing. The recordings are getting too good, so we can't let you skip right to his. I said last week a few times, I'm not going to Seattle. I'm not going to Seattle. The day after we recorded, I got a no from the good people at SB Nation. Well, the good person. There is a good person who works for the evil company that is Vox Media. but she told me no. And then 3 hours later, I got the yes. This is the day before I had to fly out. So I got the thumbs up, and the next day I was on a plane flying out to Seattle, Washington to cover Ohio State women's basketball. And if you haven't been watching the women's March Madness, you're probably one of the few people who haven't, because they're doing record numbers this year. Boom, boom, boom. The Sweet 16 round had 73% more viewership year over year, 73%. The Ohio State UConn game, which I was there covering, the winner of that game, if you haven't been paying attention, just might surprise you. I was covering the game that 2.4 million people watched, which is the largest audience for a Sweet 16 game ever. Asshole. Ever in the women's March Madness. And Ohio State, they did, to take off my beat writer hat for just a moment, beat that ass. After in Yuki's honor, in the first quarter, it was a little touch and go, but then they went on a 17-point run. They just made UConn look ridiculous. They made them look bad. It's the old Mike Tyson
feelings.
I know. So sad. Pour one out for Gino Auriemma. I know he's really struggled with those 11 national titles. And
really, really breaks my heart for Gino.
I feel so bad. I feel so bad. But yeah, that was something else. It was cool being there for that history, but that also meant I was there for more days. I was there for more time. So I I saw the tour season. Well, first I say at the beautiful Travelodge Space Needle, Seattle, which was within walking distance of not just the Space Needle, but the Climate Pledge Arena, which is where I was covering said basketball game. It was also less than $100 a night. And if that, if you know anything about getting a hotel in a major city, in a popular area of the city, pretty soon you'll know why I paid less than $100 a night. The hotel, that was sketch. There are things that happened in that room, potentially violent things that I will never know. Only my imagination.
I thought you meant that they involved you. I was
No, next to the nightstand, there was like a red stain on the carpet next to the nightstand. There was like wall material and ceiling material peeling. It was so old they had border around the top of the room, and some of the border was peeling. I had to turn on the water in the shower and then wait 10 minutes for it to get warm. So I would turn the water on, you know, go brush my teeth, get changed, get my stuff ready for the day, plug in my phone, plug in my laptop, get everything prepared. And then I would go over there and stand another 2 minutes waiting for the water to get hot. But I will say, I got off on the right foot because the concierge, which I said that jokingly to somebody, and then they were like, oh my gosh, they don't have a concierge. And they kind of like, they bit. So the whole weekend I was saying it was the Travelodge concierge. The night I got there, I rolled in at like 10 o'clock Pacific time, which if you can do the math, it was like 1 a.m. But I was so hungry. I had not eaten on the plane and I didn't eat before I got on the plane. So I went to a local like pizza restaurant and it was fantastic. So the next day I was like, okay, what's your next recommendation? I probably went to like 3 or 4 different recommendations this guy gave me. And every one of them was a banger. Damn. Every one of them. So I had a good time. Also, her name is Anita. She is a crew fan. I met her at the Carolina Challenge Cup in 2017 or 2016. Totally random why I was even there. But I met her. She was in town because she knew the photographer from the Columbus Dispatch. So we went to a dive bar, the three of us. That was a lot of fun. It was just, you know, I did the touristy stuff. Like I said, I went up to the Space Needle. I took pictures. I was nervous AF. On there, even though they have glass, they have these benches you can sit on, and they're clear benches, but you can sit on them and then rest against the glass. No, I'm not. I'm not doing that. And I'm going there alone, so I'm like, I took like a couple sad selfies that I only sent my wife, and I would never post them. And it was weird. Like I didn't hang out with anybody except for like the dive bar. That was the night before I left, so it wasn't even like I was there from Thursday to wee hours of Tuesday morning. It was just kind of cool to walk around. I went to Pike's Place Market. You know, I did that touristy thing. I got a video of them throwing fish, of course.
Nice.
I walked over 30 miles in the time that I was there.
My feet hurt.
The best. Yeah. I had good tennis shoes. But the nice thing about staying near the Space Needle is that I used to, for the first day, I used like Google Maps to, okay, where do I have to walk? Where do I have to go? After that, I was like, you know what? If I get lost, all I have to do is turn around and find the Space Needle and then walk that direction. And it was really nice. So it was a great city. I got to watch a lot of basketball. I got to watch Gino Auriemma kind of make a fool of himself. It was nice. It was a nice, I say fool because after the game, there's a player on Ohio State named Cody Bifan. She's a freshman, Big Ten Freshman of the Year. She's like lightning in a bottle. She does not play like a freshman. Like, she hurts people. And after the game, the coach of UConn was just generally disheveled. Like, oh, we didn't even expect, you know, you prepare for the key players of the game and then somebody else comes out and surprises you or something. She's the second leading scorer on the team.
Big Ten Freshman of the Year. Yeah, this is not like some person that was buried on the bench from the sounds of it. Like,
right. So I think this dude, I think this dude was definitely either not doing the scouting. He's been coaching for a long time. Let's put it that way. I don't think he does everything for UConn, right? Like, he's not doing all the scouting. So I think maybe he just had a moment he probably wishes he could take back. But it was a lot of fun. I feel like I made folks jealous when I told them I was going to Seattle because everybody was like, oh, man, I want to go to Seattle. Oh, I want to go to Seattle. I definitely recommend anybody should go out there. I had a I went to an actual French bakery. I don't know if Brian, if you Ooh. Showed Alyssa the pictures.
I did, yeah.
Was she impressed?
She was very impressed. She was especially impressed that they also spoke French.
The Muzzy Tapes did their job. I heard.
Did you walk in and go, "Je suis la jeune fille"?
This customer is not French. He's American. I did it. Le Parisien is the name Ooh. Of the place if you want to try it out. There was also one that's not really as fancy called Biscuit Bitch, which was also really fun. They did like a Southern style biscuit. You can do sandwiches and stuff. And they really bought into it. The person at the counter is like, "I'll be with you in just 1 minute, bitches," and stuff like that. So
love it.
It was definitely that Seattle hipster vibe. You can definitely feel it a little bit. I was kind of bummed that I was trying to go buy something with the Seattle Storm on it. I wanted to get something from them, but like the arena's team shop was closed and everything was either the Seattle Kraken or the Seattle Supersonics. Like they have more supersonic stuff in that city for a team that hasn't existed. God, when did Kevin Durant, when was he a rookie?
I was going to say, what's it been, like 20 years?
Something like that. But they had a ton of that stuff. So that was kind of a bummer. But I'm glad to be back home. Glad to be back home with my family and recording Brian and me. And I'm really kind of happy I don't have to go to Dallas because I'm really happy they play this in Seattle because nothing about going to Dallas sounds appealing to me. Like there's nothing like, oh man, I can't wait to go to Dallas.
I mean, and it's not even at Jerry. Like if it was at Jerry World, that'd be one thing. Cause I do want to, I'd love to go to Jerry World one day, but
yeah, that would be something. Yeah. I think that isn't, it isn't Jerry World. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Yeah. But Brian, so we're both back for my travels and hopefully everything is going well in Casa de Caves. You're going to be down here in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks.
Wait, 2 weeks, 2 weeks Friday.
2 weeks. 2 weeks is Friday. Whew. Birthday boys coming up for some debauch.
Mm.
How are you guys feeling about the trip? You feeling good?
Yeah, we're excited, man. Everything's booked. We're ready to go. Just we were, not that I'm counting, but I've got 9 more work days.
Feel free to count down to the minute.
Yeah, exactly. I'm at single digit work days, so we'll be down there. We'll be, I guess, up there. Yeah. Northwest
there. Yeah,
yeah, we're gonna fly up Friday morning, so it should be a good time.
Can't wait All right, so let's go and get into the show because we have a lot for LT to talk about. Welcome boys and girls to Bright Me, where podcasts we talk about soccer and other things, other podcasty things. We are back in black. We're gonna talk today about the Chicago Red Stars, who got a little thunderstruck down in San Diego against the Wave. It was rigged, man. It's rigged, I tell you. It's all a scheme against the Chicago Red Stars. Until you change your owner, maybe it's not that bad.
Jet fuel can't melt steel beams, Thomas.
So we're going to talk about the Red Stars start to the season, not the start you'd hope, but that's why you play all the games. The season's not over after one win or one defeat. In this case, we're also going to talk about a little Hell's Bell. I'm trying to think of AC/DC songs that I can connect. Dirty Deeds of Antonio Conte, done dirt cheap, and he's done with Tottenham Hotspur. So we're going to talk a little bit about Conte's fare thee well. We're going to spin the big wheel and randomly land on another Women's World Cup team as we prepare for this upcoming Women's World Cup in beautiful Australia and New Zealand. So we're going to spin the wheel, completely pick a team by random. We have no idea Mm-mm. who it's going to land on whatsoever. So Brian, it was a bad start to the season for us in terms of watching the Chicago Red Stars. Oh, also ask Bam questions. We'll get to those also. But starting off this season,
The few we got, you losers.
Well, Frank had to pick up the slack. If it wasn't for Frank, we'd have 2. And one of them some Robbie. So we'd have 1.5. So thank you, Frank, for getting those few questions it does. And also Felix. We love every Felix is just good people. Felix
the,
Domic.
The real Felix is the real MVP.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. So the Red Stars match. You didn't watch it because you don't have CBS Sports Network. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. I watched some of it. I was in Seattle. I had just covered the Ohio State game and I had a lot of writing to do and I had to get dinner. So I unfortunately was not able to watch the whole match, but I watched a good chunk of it. The Red Stars got off on the right foot. Yuki Nagasato kind of had her own kind of a gift, a goal. Ball went to her feet. There's a scrum in the goalie's box, and she just drove it home. And it's like, okay, 1-0, 1-0 in front of a sellout, well, 34,000 people down in San Diego, which is pretty freaking fantastic. I think it's the largest home opener attendance in league history. So it's cool that Chicago is part of that. But unfortunately, Danny Colaprico, she had her revenge that night. And she got Chicago Red Star blood, maybe not her specifically, but the Wave did kind of control the tempo after that goal. They ended up getting a couple more goals, two more goals, excuse me. And then Mal Pugh tied it up. Going into the second half, there's a joke of a penalty. Okay, I didn't see the penalty, but on Twitter, we were indignant.
We're going to go ahead. If it was against the Red Stars, we're going to go ahead and say it was a joke with him. Totally bad call, ref. You're a bum.
Right. We have VAR now. You got to check it. VAR. We both did the VAR signal at the same time, unprompted. That was precious.
Gorgeous.
God, Brian, we're just on the same page. We're just on the same page constantly. Oh, geez. So unfortunately, it's a 3-2 defeat for the Red Stars de Chicago soccer athletes, but that's okay. There's another match coming up this weekend. Unfortunately, it's on the ever continuing Ebony Salmon revenge tour. The revenge tour never ends. Louisville was ridiculous to get rid of her, but they're coming to Chicago. So before we get into that too much, and by we, I mean, we're not going to get into it at all. By the time that, before we talk about that next match, we're going to cover that next week after we watch it this weekend. I think this weekend is on Paramount Plus. So you can actually watch the darn thing. And I'm not in a whole different state in another time zone. A lot of time zone math. Most of the time I was in Seattle, I was just adding 3 to everything. Like that really took over my mind a lot of the time. It was just everything plus 3. I did a lot of rudimentary mathematics when I was in Seattle. But LT, before we get into this video, oh my God, this is a podcast. Before we get into this audio, you don't want to see us on video.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is audio only.
You can send us tips to our Venmo for it not being video, because that would have been a lot of tough. You don't remember our Twitch phase, and please don't try to find it because you're only hurting yourself. But this audio recording LT gave us, it's good and bad. Good because it's so well done. LT talks about the match against San Diego and then previews the upcoming match, but not also that professionally, very professionally, puts in audio clips from Tierna Davidson, from the coach. There's all about all different things from the match, including Yuki Nagasato pretty much coaching the team. Tierna Davidson's return from injury. Also the unfortunate Casey Krueger collision. I did see that moment. That was really tough to watch. Because she had a pretty bad head-to-head collision in midair that took her out of the match pretty early on, which we already see Bianca St. George's here has missed time because of a concussion. And hopefully for both of them, they're on the road to recovery pretty quickly here. Not for the soccer part, for just them being okay part. And then the soccer part comes secondary. But the bad part is that LT, aka Red Stars Report, really makes us sound bad. Really makes us sound like the schmucks that we claim to be. It's kind of like, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it. If you want to make yourself feel taller, so you like hang out with like your friend who's shorter than you. This is definitely Red Stars Report. It's something so good next to something so bad that we exponentially look worse sound worse.
Oh yeah. It's really not a fair, not a fair comparison.
No. So we're not doing the timestamps anymore. First week we were nice and we put the timestamps in. You gotta find it yourself. So
and it's not always going to be the first segment of the show, by the way, people. So don't think you can get away with just listening to the Red Stars report part and then not listen to the rest of the podcast. Actually, we don't care either way. We get credit for the play regardless. So hey, do whatever you want. But
I mean that's fair. That's very fair. But we're gonna go Inception on y'all. We're gonna change things up. The ceiling's gonna be on the floor. It's gonna be nuts. So let's go ahead and get into this or Red Stars report. The second audio Red Stars report on Bryant and me. So take it away, LT.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another Red Stars Report rundown. I'm LT, creator of Red Stars Report. I wanted to start by mentioning how great it was to have the NWSL back this weekend. The Red Stars community was out in force on social media and in our Red Stars Report Discord server, discussing all the matches and just enjoying having the NWSL back on our screens. Now, a 3-2 loss to San Diego Wave in the season opener for the Red Stars may not sound like something that is very exciting, but there were a lot of positives that came from that match. The first of which was seeing Tierna Davidson and Casey Krueger back on the pitch for the first time in over a year. Unfortunately, after suffering a head injury in a mid-air collision, Casey had to be subbed off for precautionary reasons, but this is still the headline of the match, win or lose. You have two of the greatest defenders in the league coming back to a club that sorely needed that help in a depleted back line last year and definitely will need it this year. And here's Tierna discussing her return back to the pitch.
How are you feeling?
Good. Yeah. It was, I think, plenty of nerves for me as well, being first game of the season, but also being first game in a year. So, yeah, it was nice to be back out on the field with my teammates.
We didn't get to see much of Casey due to that injury, but we saw Tierna out there on the pitch for over 80 minutes. She played incredibly well for someone coming off of an ACL injury and was even said to have been questionable prior to the match due to a leg injury that she sustained recently. However, she still went out there and in typical T fashion had plus 85 passing percentage, was winning her duels, and even full sprint chased down Alex Morgan on the left side to prevent her from advancing the ball any further. It was great to see. I loved seeing Tierna back out there, and I just can't wait for more this season from her. Now, as for Casey, here's what Coach Petroselli had to say about her injury.
Losing Casey was a big blow. Yeah, she got in the head. I think she's doing pretty well, though.
Due to that injury, Tata Milazzo had to swap to the other side of the field and eventually swapped again later in the match. And that kind of movement made for a really strange match for her. Nothing really stuck out as great or terrible in her performance, which I guess can be a good thing. If I always say that if commentators aren't saying your name often, you may not be doing something fantastic that catches their eyes, but you're also not doing something horrible that is drawing their attention. This isn't going to be your typical match recap. I wanted to focus more on individual players, mostly because it's the first match of the season and you're not going to get a whole lot out of how the group played as a whole for the future. But I think if you look individually at players, you can sort of get excited about who this team has this year and what this team could look like at each position moving forward. So let's go over the individual player performances and that starting 11. A big surprise to most was the addition of rookie forward Penelope Hocking to the starting lineup. Many expected the front line to be Mallory Pugh, Ella Stevens, and Yuki Nagasato. However, Yuki was moved to the defensive midfield to make room for Hocking up top. And that move was not a coaching decision. It was actually Yuki's decision. Here, take a listen.
Well, I think what's happened with Yuki is, sort of in the middle of preseason, she came to me and she said, I'll play six. I think she saw that, we were a little thin there. And obviously we lost some players who played there. So, she volunteered to drop a little bit deeper her dropping deeper also opened up a spot for Penelope, who I thought was good tonight and has been good, all the way through. So I think it made a lot of sense to drop her deeper.
classic Yuki wanting to get the best players out on the field and sacrificing her own position to do so. Although she still opened up the scoring with a goal in the 18th minute, Yuki has played in the defensive midfield a few times last season and played pretty well, but certainly has more to work on in that position moving forward if she's going to stay there. Now, as for the rookie, she had what I think was a pretty fantastic match. She may not have gotten on the scoreboard, but she was involved in the attack early and often. Her opportunities for touches went down in the second half after the play moved more towards the left side with a focus on getting Mallory Swanson the ball. But I really liked what I saw from the rookie in her first start, and it was just really nice to see her out there because I didn't expect her to get many minutes at the very beginning of the season. And Swanson was doing, you know, what she does every match, getting five shots off, working hard to track back to the defensive side of the ball to help out, and of course scoring goals, even though this one came off of a penalty in the fourth minute of added time to close out the first half. But it was still a really great performance by her. Hopefully she just keeps building on that moving forward, especially with those finishing touches at the front of the net. I hope she continues to improve there. Now, Ella Stevens got the start at the nine as the lone striker. I think she had a good match, but I'm still waiting to see if she can learn more about that role and kind of play into it. As her heat map showed from the match, she still tends to fall into her old ways and making plays on the wing and from the midfield. And she is a natural attacking midfielder, so that's kind of expected. And she's been learning more about the position through Ava Cook. And hopefully that just keeps growing moving forward into the season. And hopefully we also see some rotation in there with Cook to see more what we can get out of that lone striker spot. So outside of Hocking, there was also four other players who had made their Red Stars debuts on Saturday: Jenna Bike, Kerry Ricaro, Sammy Feller, and Shayna Matthews. We didn't get to see too much of Matthews and Feller to make much of an impression, but I thought that Kerry Ricaro starting alongside Yuki in that defensive midfield was pretty fantastic. She made her connecting passes. She was winning her duels, making clearances, regaining possession for the club with interceptions. It's exactly what you wanted from that midfield, and I'm really glad that we saw it coming from her. I thought that Jenna Bike, who subbed in at the wing back after Aaron Wright had to slide over to the back line after Casey came off, made a good first impression on the club. I know that Gotham fans have been telling us that we got a good one in Chicago, but I really needed to see her on the pitch to judge for myself. In the 64 minutes that she had played, Jenna was on a mission, working really hard to win the ball on the wings, secured a few corners for the club, including that one that led to Yuki Nagasato's goal. And I think all around was just playing that wingback role the right way throughout the match. I'm not sure what role she will play once BSG comes back from injury, but I'm excited to see more from Jenna Bike. Hopefully she gets some starts or a lot of time in substitution. Now, the wingback on the other side was Sarah Griffith, who was making her return from her stint in the Australian League during the offseason. I was surprised to see her over Bike as the starting wingback, but I thought if you want to have your best 11 players out on the field, you had to find a spot for her on that field. And apparently that was at wingback, as is usually the go-to solution for finding a starting spot for a good player on the Red Stars. I liked Sarah's performance. She showed off her dribbling skills several times, which she does and has throughout her career, both domestically and in Australia. She just needs to make quicker, better decisions. And essentially just, you know, stop playing with her food when going one-on-one near the goal. We didn't get to see much of Ava Cook or Jill Aguilera in substitution, but I think both will play larger roles as the season goes on, especially if there's more rotation than we saw in this first match. The only other player really to mention was Alyssa Nair, who did not have a typical Alyssa Nair match. A couple of mistakes cost them a goal, and thus giving confidence to an already strong San Diego side. She won't have an off game twice in a row, so expect Alyssa to be back to her old ways this weekend against Houston. Overall, I think the team played really well. I thought that they deserved a result that matched their play and effort. Sadly, a handball by Aaron Wright in the waning minutes of the match made it 3-2 San Diego on a PK by none other than Alex Morgan, the PK queen herself. I'm really excited to see more of this team on the pitch, and luckily we get to see that on Saturday at 1 p.m. Central on Paramount Plus as the Chicago Red Stars have their home opener against the Houston Dash. The Dash drew with Louisville on Sunday, a match in which both squads kind of looked a little disjointed, but that's kind of to be expected, having been their first match of the season, especially in a season without a Challenge Cup to kick off the year. The Dash are a really strong squad on paper, having acquired rising star forward Ebony Salmon midway through the season last year, and 2022 Rookie of the Year candidate Diana Ordonez this offseason. Two really good players, really good forwards that are going to score a lot of goals this year. The Red Stars played Houston four times last season, two wins in the Challenge Cup, two losses in the regular season, one of which was a 4-1 domination by Houston on the back of the aforementioned Ebony Salmon. The good thing is that the Red Stars will be on their home pitch, a place where they are well known across the league for being really difficult to beat, and where they have not lost a home opener since 2018. If Casey is good to go, and depending on the status of BSG's injury, I expect to see the same starting 11 as the match against the Wave. I do hope the tactical substitutions happen a bit earlier, and I'd really like to see Amanda Kowalski not left off of the substitution list again. I'm not really sure why that happened last weekend, but we need center backs, and I was really surprised to not see her even available for substitution off the bench. I also want to see Brazilian national Julia Bianchi see minutes in that midfield. I was kind of shocked that she didn't see any. I almost expected her, if she wasn't going to be the starter in a midfield that doesn't have a lot of defensive midfielders, I expected to at least see her sub out. But Petrucelli had mentioned that last season he tried to sub out Yuki and she got mad at him. So I guess we'll never see Yuki come off the field, which I think is a mistake because she looked tired and Petrucelli even mentioned that. I just hope we're not going to work her to death this season and not give other defensive midfielders a chance to get in there. So again, you can see the match on Paramount Plus at 1 p.m. Central, or you can make your way out to Bridgeview for the home opener, which I believe they're having a ticket sale right now for $14 tickets. And thank you all again for listening. Make sure you check out our Discord server and come and join the fun there. It's been a great time this season already in our post-match chats where I get the community together into a voice chat room on the server and we all discuss our thoughts on the match together for an endless period of time, as some can attest to last time. And you can find that invite link to the server at the top of our Twitter page at Red Stars Report in our pinned tweet at the top of the page. Again, thank you so much for listening. And you'll hear from me again prior to the Chicago Red Stars match against the Kansas City Current, which is on April 15th. Prior to that, the Red Stars will be playing a match against the Mexican women's national team in Chicago on April 8th. But I don't believe that game is going to be televised. And hopefully that's a match that just sees a lot of the Chicago Red Stars younger players or newer players see a lot more minutes. So there's not going to be a whole lot to analyze prior to that. Now I'll send it back to Brian and Thomas or whoever's hosting with a question. Which new player are you most excited to watch this season for the Chicago Red Stars? Take it away, my friends.
So Bryant Caves this weekend, Chicago versus Houston. We heard all about it last time they played, or there was a 4-1 drubbing, excuse me, between the Dash and the Red Stars. Do the Dash once again dash the hopes of a victory for the Chicago Soccer Athletes?
I see what you did there. No, I'm gonna go ahead and say that we're coming out of this thing with a win. I feel good. Ebony Salmon, she's about to swim downstream instead of upstream.
Oh,
it's, you know, she's going to be smoked shall we say, by the Chicago Red Stars. Get it, Smoke Sam.
Smoke Sam, and I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that.
You could say that the Red Stars really have this thing on locks.
Oh my gosh, this guy.
I mean, you were just in Seattle, so we can make salmon jokes. And did you eat any salmon while you were in Seattle, by the way?
I did. They had it in the media room one day. The media food was not bad. It wasn't bad. I did not get any. I didn't go to like a seafood restaurant. We went to a dive bar called the Octopus, which was pretty fun. But I had tater tots and a hot dog there because I'm a child.
Because you're 4 years old.
But the tater tots had queso on top of them.
Mm.
Yeah. And it was a Seattle dog where they had cream cheese on it. They had some sort some other like jalapenos, some kind of spicy aioli or something like that. It was a bougie hot dog. But anyway, before we get into Conte being fired and all the drama I'm sure you're going to be able to tell me about. I've seen a little bit. I've seen bits and pieces, but I'm sure you can fill us in. They released the U.S. Women's National Team roster.
Mm.
And there's a defender that represented Chicago soccer athletes added to this roster. But it was a former Chicago soccer athlete in Julie Ertz. Fortunately, though, Casey Krueger did make it back onto the roster. So that's a dub. That's a big win. But there was one name missing, Bryant. Do you know which name was missing from that U.S. Women's National Team?
Unfortunately, I do. And Vlatko, listen, we're gonna. It's just me and you right now.
And me, I'm listening.
It's time. It's time to get Tatum Milazzo, the Hurricane, member of the BAM fam, former Bryant and me guest, one of the best guests we've ever had.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Time to get her on the women's national team. What are you doing? What are you doing?
What are you waiting for? I get the whole, you don't want to mess with the dynamic of the team and the World Cup and blah, 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 blah. So you bring back Julie Ertz, who has not played since 2021 and went through an injury and then also had a baby. And that's not the reason why you shouldn't add her, because Casey Krueger came back from also having a child. That's not the reason. But it's been over 2 years, Vlatko. She doesn't even play club soccer. She's not even on a team right now. I think Angel City owns her rights at this point, but you gotta get your act together. You gotta get your act together. What are you doing, Vlatko?
Don't make me come over there. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you live, but
don't make me, Mister Vlatko Ekwenazi. Do not make me come over there, Mister.
I will turn this car around.
I will turn this U.S. Women's National Team around. I will do it. I'll do it. Okay, Brian. What happened in the world of tots and hams? So, not tater tots.
It's not been a good good time lately to be a Tottenham Hotspur coach of any kind, really. So we are coachless. we are without a permanent coach now on both our men's and women's teams. Spurs did. Previously, since I last recorded, at least, did sack Rhian Skinner. And after losing, I believe it was 9 games in a row. To quote Mr. Rooney, they lost 9 times.
9 times.
So, not a good look there. So they'll be looking for a new women's coach. And then, they've had.
Who was the team that got the coach fired? Who was that last loss against, Brian?
I don't remember, Thomas. I got no idea who that was. Who was it?
When you walk, oh
God,
through a storm, hold your head up high. Okay, I'll stop.
Thanks for doing
it. It was Liverpool. It was Liverpool.
You did us a favor. She was a bum.
You bum. Get out of here, you bum.
Get out of here. Get out of my football club. And then after that, the men's team has had a pretty fun run of form, just laying some absolute eggs. There was a 4-1 drubbing at Leicester. were their only we're one of only two wins they've had since the year started, by the way. So
Joey Cucamonga, that's good.
That's fun. So to get blown out 4-1 by a pretty bad team, just absolute eggs against AC Milan in the Champions League. Didn't even bother to score a goal on either leg. Getting knocked out of the FA Cup after not scoring a goal against Sheffield United. Second year in a row they've been knocked out of the FA Cup by a lower level team, by the way. Third out of the last 5 years they've been knocked out by a championship club. Lost in the League Cup or Carabao Cup, whatever you want to call it, to Nottingham Forest, not scoring goals. It's Conte, God bless him, he's had a lot of issues personally. There's been a contract discussion hanging over his head. Didn't get a contract done. His contract expired at the end of the season, I think. And then finally, we have a 3-3 draw against Southampton. He's probably going to get relegated this year.
Southampton.
A game where we were leading 3-1 and blew a 3-1 lead to get a draw. It's one of those, you know, one of those cliches, right? Where some losses feel like wins, some losses, some draws feel like wins, some draws feel like losses.
Right.
Definitely one that felt like a loss. And after that match, Conte came out to the press conference after making the press wait like an hour. Oof. And he just went scorched earth. I mean,
not those poor press folks. Salt of the earth people there.
Oh yeah, the London press is
that's what they're known for, is compassion and empathy.
Just compassion and empathy. Really, really great people. Conte let it rip. The players are all terrible. They're all selfish. None of them want to play full time. None of them want to play hard. None of them want to be physical. None of them want to do anything. The club is a disaster. You know, they've had the same owner for 20 years and have won one trophy. All these.
Was that the Audi Cup, or did he include that?
No, that was like a League Cup they won in like 2004 or something.
Oh, sorry.
I don't remember that. They won it in like 07 or something. I don't remember the exact year, but yeah, not a good look. Conte, I think, came across as a guy like, what, here's my issue with what he had to say. Most of what he said, there's probably a lot of truth to it. Like, yeah, the club has kind of been run poorly. Like, they haven't won anything in the last 20 years, and they're kind of considered one of those big six in England, whatever the hell that really means. They're one of the top, I think, five or six most valuable clubs in the world financially right now. So they're a club that could spend money but doesn't really like to show that ambition, except to lure Beyonce and F1 and the NFL into their stadium.
Don't bring Queen Bee into this, okay?
Adele, who's a Spurs supporter, can we get Adele to donate some money so we can buy some players? What are we doing here?
Oh my gosh. I imagine the Monopoly man pulling his pockets out every time I see the Levy's and transfer market opens. They pull their pockets out and it's like a little butterfly comes out. I don't have any money. We're broke. We're not making any profit off this club.
No.
Say something like that.
Oh, it's 100%. So anyway, what Conte said had a lot of truth to it, I think, honestly. Like, yeah, there's truth to it. The problem is he's not the one that really needed to be saying it. Like, we've played the most boring, god-awful looking football. Like, he's got a team where he's literally got three starting national team strikers. He's got the national team striker from England. He's got the national team striker from Brazil. He's got the national team striker from South Korea. And we're sitting back absorbing with 40% possession in games. It's like, this is a type of football that you would expect to watch a team that's fighting for relegation, that's fighting for draws.
Yeah.
Not a team that's sitting in the top. You know, because we're still top four. We're still sitting in fourth in a Champions League spot, a team that played in Champions League this year, made it out of their group. Like, that's not the type of football you're expecting to watch a team like that play. And it came across very much as him talking to his next employer.
Oh, he's just trying to get a job interview for
him. It very much came across to me as him saying, hey, it's not going well, but hey, it ain't my fault. Nobody could do anything with what I've got to deal with here. Like I'm washing my hands of the whole thing. He was asking to be fired. I mean, when you call out the ownership publicly like that, like that's a man that wants to be fired.
And I've heard too, behind the scenes, he called a team meeting and then he walked out of the team meeting and he was like, fix it yourselves. And then he walked out of the team meeting.
It's starting to come out now where it's coming out that multiple players said they hated his guts.
And he said like, he said, oh, they don't want to fight. They don't want to play. No, they don't want to fight for you. They don't want to play for you.
Yeah.
No, he's out of for you at the end of some of those. Cause now the ownership and the money, you've heard Brian say that ad nauseum over the last few years on this podcast. Yeah. You know that it's well known that they are cheapskates when it comes to fielding a team that it can compete with the rest of the world. Although you did get your Champions League final and you got to, you know, some of those later tournaments, but still, it sounds like a lot of those player specific ones are, they don't want to do that for you. Like, they don't want to play for you, Conte.
That's exactly right. And he's never really like, and this isn't the first time he said things that were concerning. A lot of his tenure has really almost felt like he was distancing himself from the club. He was kind of thinking he's bigger than the club. And that's okay. If you think that, that's fine. Why are you here? Mm. You know what our reputation is. You know, we're not going to spend money like a lot of the other big clubs. We'll spend some, but we're not going to spend near what, you know, your Man City's and now Newcastle's, Man United's, Arsenal's, you know, we're not going to spend that money. That's just not what we're going to, that's not what we've ever done. Yeah. Maybe one day we will, maybe we won't, but you knew that coming in. Like that's always been our reputation. So, and he's the type of manager, he doesn't develop players. I can't think of one player that's gotten better since he's been the manager.
He kind of comes into a good situation.
Yeah. He comes into a situation where they're willing to spend a lot of money. Mm. Buy him a bunch of already finished products. He coaches them up. They win. He pisses out. He's Jose Mourinho. I mean, he pisses
as much.
Yeah. He's got a better reputation, but this isn't the first complete blow up he's had. I mean, the same thing. It's almost verbatim what happened at Chelsea.
Yeah.
Except of course at Chelsea, he managed to win the league. So that's
right.
I'm kind of to the point where I think what Spurs are here for is just to take once really highly thought of coaches and kind of break them.
Well, it kind of gets them on their last. They get them on their last leg. They get them whenever they've already done this a few different times, and it's name notoriety. I know first Spurs fans were excited when Conte came in.
I was.
You're excited when Mourinho comes in. Like that's all exciting stuff, but then. Like it gets tired. The act gets tired quickly.
Yeah. So it's especially if you're losing.
Oh, like for sure.
Like if you're, because I mean, they play a very similar style of football, soccer, whatever you want to call it. Like this is not pretty. This is not fun to watch. This is not something where we're not, you know, if we're losing, we're not losing, you know, in an exciting 4-3 back and forth match. We're losing 1-0 or we're losing 2-1 at best.
Yeah.
So it's something where if you're winning, you can tolerate it because you can say, hey, you know what? The football's hard to watch. The coach is an ass, but we're winning. So, hey, winning cures everything.
Yeah.
But if you're losing and you can't stand the manager and you can't stand the style of football they're playing, it's, right. It's a, and, you know, this is another thing where this is a club in crisis. Like this is a club that's in a lot of trouble. They've gone through they've had three managers in the last 3 years. They've they've got a director of football who they haven't fired yet, but is about it, but is now banned by FIFA. I don't know if you saw that today.
No,
they're direct. So have you heard anything about the situation at Juventus?
I heard there were issues and the whole board was in trouble.
Yeah. So our director of football, Fabio Paratici, however you want to say it, was previously at Juventus. He came over when Conte came over. He is all up in the middle of those issues that are going on at Juventus, and it came out today he's banned from any football related activities by FIFA. When FIFA says you're too corrupt, you're doing some things.
That's saying some stuff right there. Oh my god. Yeah,
so we've got to figure out, all right, who's our next manager going to be, who's our director of football going to be, and who is leading this search?
A guy who's not even able to.
Yeah. A guy who's a smart businessman. I mean, hey, we've got one of the nicest stadiums in the world. And we've got, if he was half as good even as he is at doing everything off the field as he is on the field,
yeah,
it would be great. But that's not the case, unfortunately. So,
man.
We play out the season. Hey, we're sitting in a top four spot. You never know. I actually think it would be better if we didn't make Champions League this year. I'd rather play in really? Something where we. Yeah, I'd rather play. I'd
well, don't you want to keep players, or don't you want to bring players to the club? Because that's the easier way to rebuild is whenever you have that.
Sure. I think honestly, I don't think we have a chance at it anyway. Because a lot of the teams we're competing with, you guys, Brighton, Man United, or Man United's in there. Who am I leaving out? You guys, Brighton, somebody. I don't know. Newcastle.
Someone else. Yeah.
Another one of those Blood Money FC type clubs.
Yeah.
Are all competing with us and have multiple games in hand. So, it's real close, and we've got games in hand, and we have games against Brighton, against Liverpool. And I think we've already played Newcastle twice. So more games against New. So we've got games coming up against both those teams. We're going in with an interim manager who is basically just Conte's right-hand man for some reason.
Oh, gosh. Why are you keeping him around?
I don't know. Daniel Levy. Why do Spurs do anything they do? Just
can't probably, you bring up like a youth coach or something? Bring up the U21 coach.
They've got Ryan Mason. Ryan Mason is this 29-year-old guy who everybody thinks super highly of, who was a former Spurs player who got like a traumatic head injury and had to retire. And
he did before Conte came in, he coached him, didn't he?
Yeah, he was the interim after they fired Mourinho. So bring him back. Let him coach 10 games. And
troops rallied around him and get the fans excited about something again, because God knows you haven't been able to this season.
I can tell you this right now, that this weekend, if we don't show up, because it's against Brighton,
ooh,
if we don't show up, that stadium's going to get ugly.
Ooh, yeah.
Like it's going to turn real ugly. But hey, that's enough of me bitching about Spurs, but let's stay on the lovely continent of Europe.
Hey, because we have to spin the big wheel. We don't know what country it is, Brian.
That's true. We don't know which country it's going to be. It could be on the continent of Europe. It could be North America, South America.
It could be on many continents.
Asia.
Yeah, that's a continent that I've heard of.
Antarctica, that's a continent.
I don't know. I don't think Penguin FC made it out of they were just wallowing around. It didn't really work out. Hey, you're a penguin. You can't play soccer.
There's no rules. Quit the anti-penguin harassment. This is like Air Bud. There's no rules that say a penguin can't play soccer.
Let them play, and then they get demolished because they're penguins. No Penguin FC. Let's spin the wheel. Let's see if it lands on. All right. Okay. It's the Republic of Ireland.
Oh, we got the Danny boy.
the pipes are calling from glen to glen. Okay, sorry. So we're going to cover a team that has not made it to the World Cup. This is their first World Cup. So similar to Northern Ireland in the Euros last year, this is the Catholic Ireland, not the Protestant Northern Ireland. This is Ireland proper making it to the World Cup. Pretty exciting stuff. They are in Group B. Better be careful because you're going up against Australia, going up against Canada, you're going up against Nigeria. Not the greatest group.
Hey, do you wanna make the World Cup? Yeah, you're gonna play against the best player in the world.
Oh. So let's talk a little bit about the Republic of Ireland, because they're coming in. I know we say, oh yeah, it's gonna be easy to folks are gonna walk over them. They've played pretty well in their World Cup qualifying and some friendlies they've had. They're gonna be playing the United States here in the next couple of weeks. Actually, a week from Saturday, they're going to be playing against the United States. And then 4 days later, they're going to Austin and St. Louis. So unfortunately, can't go and see them. But in their last few matches, things like the last eight or matches or so, they've had 6 wins and 2 draws.
Okay.
A lot of that was in World Cup qualifying. So they tied Sweden 1-1, away from home too, which is not easy. Sweden's not an easy side to beat, but Ireland got the point. We'll skip the friendlies. They beat Morocco and the Philippines aggregate 5-0. They score a goal. Hey,
the Philippines are in the World Cup.
That's true. I shouldn't hate. So they beat the Philippines 1-0, fellow World Cup side. They beat Finland 1-0. They beat Slovakia, Scotland. They've had a good run of form here in their World Cup qualifying, and they had to go make it into a playoff. So they had to play the playoff against Scotland. So Ireland versus Scotland, the one where probably don't know what half of the things are being said in the stands.
Oh my God.
But Ireland won.
The drinking of that game.
Oh my Lord. That's hashtag goals right there. Sounds like a rugby match is what it sounds like.
That sounds like a damn good time. That sounds like.
But they won 1-0. 1-0. And you might be thinking, Thomas, I don't know anything about this Ireland women's national team. You probably do, because they've got some players that you have heard of. You've definitely heard of. So, Brian, have you ever heard of a team called North Carolina Courage?
No. Where are they?
You son of a bitch. No, Denise O'Sullivan is the captain of North Carolina Courage. She's also a leader within the Irish national team. She's played 99 caps for Ireland. And so she'll be hitting 100 for the World Cup, which is pretty freaking awesome. The captain of the team, though, I know you're not going to like it very much, but the captain of the team is Katie McCabe, which I know Felix is listening to this and he's pumping his fist like he's the situation in Jersey Shore. That's his name, right? The situation.
Beating up that beat. Yeah.
Felix just punched somebody. He was so excited. Katie McCabe from Arsenal. She's the captain of Ireland. She's got 70 appearances and 19 goals in those 70 appearances. So good for you, Katie McCabe. And then also for all the Liverpool fans, because we're kind of the pulse of Liverpool fans, right? People say it all the time. They see me online. They're like, Thomas, Brian, me, you're really the pulse of Liverpool fans.
I think they're saying the pus or the
pus. They probably have that Scottish or Irish accent. That's probably why I misunderstood them. So Megan Campbell, she is a long throw-in specialist. She has multiple assists in the last 2 years from throw-ins. She gets the ball and she launches them.
I feel like I always wonder why that's not more of a
tactic.
Of a tactic, because I've always thought it was cool. Like, who was it in the men's World Cup that did it? Was it Iceland?
I think it was. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
That had like the long throw-ins, and I think scored a couple goals off of throw-ins.
Yeah, like stuff like that is just It's just fantastic. It's fantastic. But she's on the side. So good on Megan Campbell. She's had a couple, you know, just get it over to Katie Stengel and let her get her noggin on that to score some goals for Liverpool. Katie Stengel is an Irish or United States international. So you can't have her Ireland. Also Niamh Fahey, she plays for Liverpool and Ireland, but she hasn't played nearly, she's 106 caps, but she's also 35. So I think that she's not going to be playing as much, even if she is called up to the team, but she does have that experience with her. She just played actually against Morocco back in November. So maybe on the edge, we'll see if she gets to get that call up into the national team, but I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, don't forget
Leanne Kiernan. If she comes back healthy, sorry, I forgot because she got injured early in the season. Leanne Kiernan, who was voted the Liverpool's best player last year, scored. May I use a curse word, Brian? Do I have your permission?
You curse ahead, sir.
Shit ton of goals last year for Liverpool. She was leading scorer. Only Katie Stengel averaged more goals per match because she joined the team halfway through the season. But Leanne Kiernan, if she comes back healthy, hopefully she can for the World Cup and for Liverpool. God, score some goals here. That's going to be another piece of firepower. But they don't just have Liverpool players, Brian. Who else do they have? Somebody that you might have some affiliation with.
They have got winger Heather Payne out of current Seminole at Florida State University.
Ooh, I've heard of the Florida State.
Yeah, pretty good soccer program they got going on down in Tallahassee. So she's a winger for them, nice young player. She's 23, has already played a few pro matches at Bristol City, made 9 appearances. Oh, nice. For Bristol City back in the 18-19 season. She must have been a kid.
Probably because they were down in the no, 18-19. They weren't in the chat. I don't know. How could you do that and play at Florida? Wouldn't you be professional at that point?
She hadn't played at Florida State yet. I think there was.
Oh, okay.
She was at Bristol City in 18-19, started at Florida State in 19. So.
Oh, so she was like an academy kid, probably played a little bit of pro and then went to college, decided, hey, I'll go for a free ride in Florida instead of Ireland and Bristol City. So I guess she's
go down there and play for a great coach like Mark Krikorian, getting the job done. Good times.
Doesn't sound like a bad thing there. So I'm pretty stoked for their chances. What I'm also stoked about is just a few weeks ago, they made some changes in Team Ireland. And we're not talking about roster changes or anything like that. What did they do recently, Brian? What's been the big change for Ireland?
They went ahead and got themselves a new logo. So ooh, it's
a nice logo too.
It is sharp. Yeah, it's green and orange, you know, colors of the Irish flag, and white. It's kind of a round logo, got Ireland around the top and then a shamrock in the middle. The three stripes, three kind of small stripes for the green, white, and orange for the Irish flag. It's a really sharp. Reminds me of what's the club in Scotland? Celtic. Kind of reminds me of their logo. I think just because the shamrock.
One. Yeah, the old one looked kind of like either a rugby logo or like something Umbro, like 90s, 80s logo. The old Ireland Football Association or whatever. I like this one much better. This is much better than the old one. I don't know if you're looking it up, Brian, but it was not a good looking logo before.
One thing I'll give them a shout out for, I'm looking at their Wikipedia page at the moment. They recently had some controversy last year. They were celebrating a win in the locker room and apparently sang a song praising the IRA, which...
Fuck yeah, let's go.
Shout out to you guys. You're praising the IRA. You're my kind of people.
The British news hated it. I remember the BBC or something like, oh, they had to issue an apology. Fuck that apology.
Nah, fuck your apology. Shout out to the IRA.
IRA unions fighting for your rights that you're supposed to have, and no one can take them from you. So if you're in that group, you're friends of ours. So good on you. Good on you, Ireland. Keep that up. Singing in the locker room even louder when you win a World Cup match.
We got a good friend who's Irish. Shout out to Joe Regan. I'm sure he's not listening to the podcast, but shout out to Joe. He's good people.
It's not like we had a podcast listener.
He's up in Boston. He's good folk. So shout out to Joe as well.
Yeah, you'll be able to find him. He's the Irish guy in Boston.
Well, he's the only real Irish guy in Boston. Everybody else just their great grandpappy came over
At the harbor. All right. Brian, before we get to these Ask Spam questions, I guess we can talk about Major League Soccer. Do you want to talk about the CLT? How have they been doing?
You know what? They're improving. They're doing better. Started off the season not great. Couple big losses there. But you know, they got a big win down in Orlando, an Orlando team that's looked good. Got a 2-1 win down in Orlando, so that's always a good thing to see. We finally got to see him score a goal, because there were no goals in the first two games. Did get to see him score a goal, so that was fun. I still personally have not seen them score a goal at home. They haven't scored one at home yet in three matches. Only their only goal at home was an own goal this past weekend against the New York Red Bulls. So they're sitting at one win, one draw, and two losses. It's early days in the season. I'm not freaking out yet. I think they're still trying to figure out where they want to play some of the guys. They made some acquisitions in the offseason. Our fan base is, of course, freaking out, as all fan bases do. But no, we're not too worried. Not too worried. It's early days. Going to be fun. You're going to be here for a match the following weekend. So I'm going to Columbus the 14th. I'll be at the Columbus Crew New England Revolution game on the 15th.
Ooh, say you want a revolution.
We all want to change the world. Well, that too. But if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, you're not going to make it with anyone anyhow. You know, it's going to be all right.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited for you to come down here. The Crew, everyone is real excited, like, because the Crew beat Atlanta United. Was it 6-1?
Y'all finished the job General Sherman started.
Yeah, they sure did. If both General Sherman and Atlanta's army had half of their best soldiers out, that's definitely what happened there. Almada, who has been a world beater this year, I think it shows just how much better he is than everybody. I know he was on the World Cup team. He did not really play, but I've seen just people who played on that team and seeing Messi and seeing what that team did. It's like brought that renewed vigor into this season. Almada is front runner MVP candidate. I know it's early season, but if this continues, don't even hold a vote. Just give him the MVP award. He's been ridiculous, but the Crew at home, 1-6-1. I was in Seattle. I did not watch a second of it, so I can't really report back too much, but it's early in the season. There's no promotion relegation. We're all just trying to make the playoff line, and it'll come down to like 2 points. So if I miss early season like games,
75% of the league, 75% of the league makes the playoff now. So it's,
I think, you know, Brian and me actually made the playoffs already. I think we clinched a spot.
Oh, we're playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go.
We need players. If you guys want to join our team.
No play haters, though. We don't need any PhDs, no player hater degrees on our podcast.
No one can hate us as much as we do.
They hate us because they ain't us. That's a lie. So yeah, more MLS stuff coming up. We're gonna have fun. I'm gonna go to two MLM rewind, but a little bit. I'm gonna go to two MLS matches in two weekends in a row after going to zero up until this point. So I'm excited for that. You know what I'm also excited for?
What's that?
Ask Bam questions. We've got five Ask Bam questions, four good ones. So let's go and hear these puppies.
Let's do it.
And then we'll call the show. Could this be one of the quickest Brighton episodes ever? Stay tuned to find out.
We still got Ask Bam questions, though, and we like to talk. True. We'll get the bad question out of the way here. We'll start with Robbie Rogers.
Who?
He wants, he, yeah, I know. He He wants to know why he can't find any of our teams, mine or your teams, in the women's Final Four.
Well, Penn State didn't even make the tournament, Robbie. So I know you're an LSU student, so maybe I'll say it slower. Penn State didn't make the tournament, Robbie. So that's why my team isn't in there. And, I mean, Bryant, you had the consensus freshman of the year, but she got injured. So yeah. Florida State, I mean, that's great. You know, we can't all have homophobic coaches and win despite the horrible
COVID denying coaches. And
I wish they didn't have testing. I wish they didn't have testing for these kids, because then they could miss a game. Really, Kim, really worried about the players over there at LSU. Everyone wants to play for her. So good for her.
Smell corn dogs. Smell corn dogs all of a sudden. That's fine. I'm a big Virginia Tech fan this weekend.
Oh yeah. It was fun. I don't know if you saw the tweet where she's wearing the pink frilly thing down the side of her shirt. She's wearing like a sequin shirt with the pink like frills down the side. It looked like feathers going down. And it's something like, when you want to look fabulous, but you are against kids getting free school lunches, something like that. It was a solid tweet. But Robbie, that is why. And I know this is also tough. I'm not an Ohio State fan. I write about Ohio State. So
it's a job.
Sticks and stones might break my bones, Robbie, but words, those words shall never hurt me. Let's go to Felix.
Let's go to Felix. Much better question here. Felix wants to know what our favorite things are to do at a baseball game. Drink beer.
Eat peanuts. I never eat peanuts outside of like shell peanuts. I never eat them outside of a baseball stadium, but I will buy a bag of peanuts and just go to town.
I enjoy going on some kind of promotion for cheap hot dogs.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah,
the Columbus Clippers there. I miss old Huntington Park. They had Dime a Dog Night. Just tear up some hot dogs.
Tear up on Dime a Dog Night, I had some Exorcist level stuff after going to a Dime a Dog Night for the Clippers, and I don't think I can ever do that to myself again. Like stop off the highway in my 15 minute drive home from the game.
Whew.
Kind of exorcism stuff. So I cannot say I join you with that fun, but I digress. I won't go too graphic for you.
We only get Dollar Hot Dog Night here with the Charlotte Knights. Still, Dollar Hot Dog is still cheap, much cheaper than it normally is. I can put away some even some $1 hot dogs as well.
For sure. I like the seventh inning stretch also. That's a good one.
Are
they saying that God bless America either. Give me the seventh, that take me out to the ball game. Give me that.
That's a ball game. Give me I enjoy the music in particular at baseball games.
Oh,
like the old school, like the organ doing the little Adams Family thing, the ba-na-na-na. Doing the clap part to the beginning of Center Field by John Fogerty, or just all the little things like that.
Rest in peace to John Adams, not the president, he died a long time ago, but he was the drummer for Out and Outfield for like he went to games, I think 30 some years, every game. He went to the Cleveland games. He was up in left field, had the drum. Anytime there's a runner in scoring position, or you know, there's two outs or something about to strike out a player, he's always, before every play, he's like, dum, 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 dum. And it's just like, it was a sound that echoed throughout the entire stadium. He passed away this offseason, which is a huge loss.
Yeah.
It will probably make game. It was very kind of like the Harry Carey singing for the Cubs games and stuff like that. It's a piece of the team's tradition. And this one just became like, it was organic. Like this guy brought a drum and he kept bringing it. And it just became everything like kind of associated with fandom of the team. So I'm sure the game will feel much different now with him gone, but
I will say too, baseball compared to other sports, one of the things I love this about baseball, especially live baseball, is unlike most other sports, you know, soccer, you're standing, you're singing, you're doing whatever, like, there's constant action. I love the pace of baseball in person because you can like sit and have a conversation, watch the game at the same time, like it moves, right. And it's a very like social thing that it has just a different vibe than, you know, going to it, pretty much any other sport.
Right. And you're not yelled at by somebody because you're not singing loud enough or you're not singing songs and stuff. Think of the worst parts of soccer supporter culture and take them away. And that's baseball fandom. You just get to enjoy it without anybody telling you what to fucking do the whole time.
Also, the other great things about minor league baseball in particular, all the different promotional nights they'll do, like, you know, Star Wars night or Marvel night, or yeah. And when they bring in, you know, D-list like celebrities and stuff that you get to meet, like
that's great.
Like when we stood in line to meet Kevin from The Office.
Don't even remind me about that dude waited in line. I got in line before the game started. I was waiting in line. This guy legit, Kevin Baumgartner. What is his name? Kevin. What his first name is Kevin.
Brian Baumgartner
or something like that. He is a bum. That's what he is. He waited everybody he would talk to for like 5 to 10 minutes. He would take a break, drink some beer. He got through not even half the line. And then he was like, gotta go. I didn't even get up there. So every time I see him on The Office, I think, what a jerk. So I have a thing, even though we're birthday friends, he was also born on November 29th, but he's, you're giving all Sagittarius folks a bad name. I know you're listening to this, Brian, you bum gardener. But why'd you have to bring that up? I was really hoping you wouldn't bring that up because I'm getting all fired up again. Let's go back to Robbie's question. I got more fuel now. Let's go.
We got Stanley, the actor that played Stanley, coming here to Charlotte this year.
He probably did it proper. He probably does it proper. You need to go, and you need to tell me how the line works, how the queue works.
Well, no, this one has a special meet and greet package you can buy.
Oh.
So for like $50, you get to meet Stanley. You get I think a picture or something, and then you get access to like the upper level, the fancy like upper level, and a buffet.
Ooh, mama! There we go. That's some good eatings. You gotta get it, Brian. Come on, Brian.
I don't know.
No mites in this. Do it. Show Brian Baumgartner who the fuck's boss.
Stanley's better.
That should be your post whenever you post it. Stanley's better than you, Kevin. That would be bum. Great. Oh, actually, when we what?
Yeah, so your chili sucked.
I think it was at that playoff game that we went to. I think Henry Rollingardner was there, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Thomas Ian Nicholas.
And Henry Rollingardner. Yeah.
Also, Kevin from the American Pie movies.
Everyone remembers him from Rookie of the Year. Everyone. Totes. All right, let's get to Frank's questions. I'm sure he's got a couple zingers, some wham doodlers.
Let's do that. So we'll start out with Frank. I think I know how both of us are going to answer this question, but we'll start out with probably the easiest question: Star Trek or Star Wars, and why? Star Wars,
come on.
Yeah.
Star Trek is like, I know Star Wars is nerdy, and I would say the fans of Star Wars are pretty insufferable. Like the really like big ones who are you know racist because there's a black person in the movie or something like that. That's Lord of the Rings.
We had the anti Rose Tico.
Just who cares if you don't like the character? Move on. You've been watching long movies with Mark Hamill in them, and he was a whiny bitch in that movie. I want to go to the Tasha station to get some power converters. That is the worst. I hate him so much. Mark Hamill, I hate him so much.
I love Mark Hamill because he's actually seems like a decent human being. But in those
parts of the movies.
But no, Luke, especially in the beginning, was like a whiny little bitch.
For sure. I just like Star Wars better. It feels like it's more of a story where Star Trek is like, okay, we're in a ship. Okay, this episode, we're going to help here. Okay, we finished it. We're back in the ship. next episode, oh, we flew somewhere else. We're going to fix this. Back in the ship. It's just like a regurgitation of help somebody go back in the ship. Help somebody go back to Star Wars. There's some like, it moves along. The story yeah. moves. So that's why I give it. And the only reason that Star Trek survived was Lucille Ball, because she wanted to keep the show after one season. CBS wanted to cancel it. So Star Wars.
I didn't know that. That's that's kind of cool, actually. I'm definitely saying Star Wars, for the record. I love Star Wars, the movies, the shows, like Mandalorian, amazing show.
Although I heard they messed up this season because they just mysteriously brought the child back, and I guess they did it in like another series where like, okay, we need to have the child back because that's why people watch Mandalorian, and they just kind of screwed the whole story up, is what I heard.
I'm in. I'm still in. Grogu, Baby Yoda, whatever you want to call him, he's going to become a Mandalorian now. It's going to be wonderful. God. If they get him one of those helmets and he's got his ears sticking out, I'm going to freak the hell out. I will buy every piece of merchandise I can get my hands on if they put Baby Yoda in a Mandalorian helmet.
What's his name, dude? What's the dude's name who directs it and stuff and creates it? John. What's his name?
Favreau.
John Favreau. I could live without Jeff Favreau.
Happy Hogan in the Marvel movies as well.
He did this like chef show. I think it's called The Chef Show or something like that, where he works with these different chefs and everything. And he's always like, yes, chef. Yes, chef. It's so pretentious. I hate pretentiousness. And Jon Favreau is pretentious. So I'm sorry. I get upset, and I know he's like part creating the Mandalorian and blah 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 blah. But you're also pretentious. And Pablo Pascal is the reason why people like the Mandalorian and the cute little Yoda. You, John.
No, he's trash. I do love Star Trek. Like, I will say that. Like,
really,
next generation especially will always have like a very special place in my heart. I used to watch it. I watched the hell out of it when I was a kid. Next Generation. And I actually love the, like, one of the things you complained about it. I love the like format of the show, because I really like kind of that, like, it's similar to say like the X-Files or early seasons of Supernatural, where it's kind of a monster of the week kind of self-contained story within each episode. Like, it's actually what I thought the Mandalorian should have been too, and what I think it kind of started as was like each episode he's on a different planet and he's doing little things, and then he kind of leaves and goes to the next planet. Like,
it leads to like a bigger story. Star Trek, they just seem like cops. It's like Star Cops or ACAB. That's what it is. I thought all cops were bastards, Brian.
No, the Jedi are cops.
That's true. No, they're Force cops.
Hey, all Jedi. Hey,
who was the Sith? Who was the one who was killing kids?
I mean, he started
destroying them kids, though. Man, he went to town on those little Jedi babies.
He went all Michael Jordan on them, like, fuck them kids.
Oh, poor kids. And also, it's different television versus movies. Like, you need to have some sort of repeatable thing on a television show, where movies you can have a little bit more storytelling. Also, I will stand by this to the day that I die. C-3PO, outside of the Ewoks thinking he's a god, or it's a god, is pointless. And we don't need C-3PO in anything. They could have made Chewbacca a god in Return of the Jedi, for all I care. C-3PO was just, it just made it so we knew what R2-D2 was saying. Nobody cares about you, C-3PO. Nobody.
On the rankings.
I'm going after Jon Favreau, C-3PO. Who's next? Kevin Baumgartner?
C-3PO is a He's garbage. Yeah. No, he's trash. I don't like C-3. I mean, you got like in the pantheon of Star Wars droids, you know, obviously your R2-D2s. Yeah. Your BB-8s even. Oh, I think
BB-8's up there with R2. Yeah. I like BB-8.
But yeah, C-3PO is like bottom of the list.
I mean, Luke is out there in Hoth dying and he's saying that, oh, he's got no chance to live. And Leia's like, I'm right here.
And, you know, the best part is when he gets ripped in half.
And then get this. I might have been a little drunk, but I was watching Empire Strikes Back. And I had been drinking. Amy was out of town. And I started to tweet about the movie. How rude is it? C-3PO goes into that little room, gets destroyed. Chewbacca puts him together, carries C-3PO on Chewbacca's back, and then C-3PO has the nerve to complain and insult Chewbacca while Chewbacca's wearing said droid. That hairy MF-er put you together, C-3PO. He's carrying you on his back. Anakin should have put some gratefulness in there before he started killing them kids when he made C-3PO. He should have put some gratefulness, maybe some empathy, because that's what you're lacking, C-3PO, empathy.
Also the fact that them adding in that C-3PO was built by Anakin was stupid. It was just an unnecessary thing that George Lucas decided to do, and it was stupid.
Those three movies were just stupid. Let's just call a spade a spade.
They're really bad. All right, let's move on to the next Frank question. This question I like because this combines something I enjoy speaking about. I'm surprised we didn't get this from Felix, but Frank asks, if we could make a Simpsons movie, but it's based in another story's world, what Ooh. Would it be? So he gives examples, Harry Potter, Star Wars, Jurassic Park.
The Simpsons has kind of started to do this on Disney Plus. Once Disney got the rights to them, they've kind of started to have some mashups a little bit, like Simpsons, Star Wars, and stuff like that. But no, Frank, this is a good question. What do you got, Bryant?
I don't know. I'm trying to think what they haven't done, because they've done Harry Potter. I know on one of the Treehouse of Horror, they've done. You know what I would love? So there's an episode, one of the Treehouse of Horror episodes, Homer ends up going through this portal in the wall.
I remember that one.
And at the very...
He's three-dimensional.
Right. And at the very end of it, he goes through the portal and ends up like in the real world. So I would love to just throw the Simpsons onto like some rant, just a random, like Mad Men. Or something, just some random,
put them in Last of Us.
Yeah, just exactly. Just some random drama. And then all of a sudden there's these like CGI animated yellow people just running. It's just.
That would be fantastic. That would be great.
That's like a meme I saw one time where it's like, take any movie and make all of the people Muppets except leave one person human.
Yeah, this applies. No, that's a great one. Oh, that's good. I don't have as good a one as you. I was thinking like Saturday Night Live. They're just playing different characters, sketch characters, but they're the Simpsons. But they are still who they are Ooh. As people. They keep their genuine like personality, but they are the ones doing the different sketches.
Like, you know, oh yeah.
I like yours better.
Bart playing off of Kenan. Like
Kenan could play off anybody. Homer, Bart, who would be the funniest one on SNL? I think Marge would be the funniest. That voice has comedic value.
Grandpa, maybe? No, I mean,
when Marge does like the, when she does a little like grunt, like she's upset, I love that. It's just, and her, I think Marge would be perfect. Marge would be great. I can imagine her on Weekend Update as one of the people who slides over to talk to the anchors and then slides away after a couple minutes. I could imagine Marge doing some bits there.
I would also, to take that even a step further, put them on like late 80s early 90s Saturday Night Live, if
with
only
Phil Hartman.
I was gonna say, if only so that Phil Hartman could play himself, but also,
oh man, the voices, like,
but I'm also Troy like Troy McClure or Lionel Hutz, like
oh, that would be great. Oh, look at that. I didn't even make the connection. That's perfect. Brian, good answer. We both had really good answers to that. I'm really proud of how we answered that one.
Mm.
I think we deserve applauded for that. So if you're listening, just give us a little round of applause.
And then finally from Frank, if you could pay $1 million in NIL money, you know, that BAMFAM money, it finally kicks in. We get that that coveted Red Roof Inn Space Needle sponsorship.
Travelodge.
Sorry. The Travelodge Space Needle sponsorship. How dare I couldn't think you could stay at a Red Roof Inn. I know.
I only stay at Travelodges. Thank you very much. It says Lodge in the name. And really quick, whenever I got there, I slowly opened the closet door inside that place because I was worried that somebody might have been lodged inside of it. So it's one of those things where I opened and I like moved to the side. So if anything falls down, there's no prints on it. There was no dead body in it.
You lay down on the bed and a spring gets lodged in your back.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. No, the bed was comfy. I fell asleep very well in that thing.
So Frank wants to know if we could pay $1 million in NIL money to any women's basketball player for your school.
Oof.
Who would it be this next year?
You got to go with your freshman, right?
Yeah.
You got to keep them. And I'm thinking long game too. I'm thinking long game too. So I would give and the team go two ways. The team that I cover, I would do Cody McMahon because she's going to be a world beater. For the team that I follow, which is Penn State Nittany Lions, I would give it to McKenna Marisa, who is the Penn State Nittany Lions. So yeah, that's what I do there.
Yeah, I would and if we're just going like random, like, I mean, obviously I'll take like Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark wants to come on down to Tallahassee. I mean, Iowa, you know.
Oh, you can draw people in? Is that what he's talking about?
I think that's what he's talking about. I mean.
Oh, like, if you can bring anybody to your school. Oh, gosh. And bring Cody McMahon to Penn State.
I'm going all time. We're bringing in like Candace Parker. Prime Candace Parker is coming down to Florida State. Lisa Leslie,
Diana Taurasi.
just taking over the game at Florida State. So
that'd be good, man. Brian, that was a refreshing episode. I'm glad that you're back.
I'm glad to be back.
And that's, again, nothing against Ryan. I just miss you. And we have a dynamic that they don't teach you in school. This is natural.
Mm.
We don't plan this out except for the wheel of teams. That's definitely random. But everything else, we just go off of the seat of our pants and
off the dome. So speaking of coming off the dome, let's do this that we've never absolutely don't have down to a science and haven't rehearsed 1,000 times. Guys, we appreciate you listening to the show every week. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy day, busy week, give us a listen. You can interact with us on social media. Maybe we won't have to depend on Frank to get us some Ask Bam questions. You bunch of lazy bums. We're at Bryant and Me on both Twitter and Instagram. I am at Pickle Chip. Replace the I's with ones on Instagram, and at Pickle Chips with 2 S's. Replace the I's with ones there as well. On Twitter, you can follow Thomas at @1ThomasCostello on both platforms. Just finished up covering the Ohio State women's basketball team's deep Elite Eight tournament run. He will be probably writing a few more things to kind of wrap up the season, and then you'll be...
Yeah, there's transfer stuff and all that. Ohio State did return one of their best players who had one COVID year left, and she came back, so that's good. but just stuff to close out the season, maybe some columns here and there just to prepare for next season. But no, my official game duties, I have no deadline for things now. I have no games I need to watch, and there's no games I need to write about. So I am sitting pretty.
Well, you're always sitting pretty, Thomas, but anytime you're sitting, it's sitting pretty. But so be on the lookout. But you know, hey, basketball, women's basketball, college basketball in general is a year-round thing now. I'm sure you'll be writing periodically about, you know, transfers and players going into the portal and recruiting and all that fun, kind of happy, special stuff. I'm sure making an Elite Eight run, the Ohio State women's basketball team will be attractive to a lot of really talented players, both high school and coming into the transfer portal, I'm sure, too. So
there's a guard out of Iowa State that I think would work really well with Ohio State, because losing your shooting guard is a tough thing that Ohio State has to do. But if you're coming to an Ohio State team, you're playing with probably three of the top like 25 best players in the conference. So it's not a bad spot to land if just guessing, reading the writing on the wall And then also beating UConn in front of 2.4 million people. It's a pretty good recruiting tool right there. Pretty good recruiting tool.
First time UConn had made a Final Four, and I want to say it was like 12 years. Was it 12 years or something?
No, they made 14 straight. They were going for 15 straight.
Okay.
UConn was 14-0 against Big Ten teams in the NCAA tournament until that game. And Ohio State never lost, or UConn never lost to Ohio State. They were 6-0 until that game. So well, now you just got to put a 1-6
next to them. Ohio State is the 1-6-1. So yeah, so be on the lookout for the good stuff. You can also listen to the Merch Booth pod periodically with him and Ryan.
Go who
co-hosted last week. They go to concerts and then talk about them. It's a fun show.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for that as well. Please tell your friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, pretty much anybody you know about the pod. We always do appreciate that. Leave us a good review wherever you get fine and not so fine podcasts. Spotify.
Keep going. Let's see if we got any podcast reviews.
You guys listen, you can say whatever you want on the review. Give us five stars. You can tell us we're stupid, ugly, or you can tell us how great we are if you really want to. Like, we'll take those too. But if you leave us a review, there's a good chance we're gonna read it on air. That's how many of them we get. We get so many five star reviews.
To get our ugly, yellow, no good keisters off your property before you pump our guts full of lead.
Mm. Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
2-10. Give us a five star,
and a happy new year. Please take care of yourselves, take care of each other, take care of your physical health as well as your mental health. That is, you are all very important and are loved by us.
Yes.
On that note, guys, we hope you have a great rest of your week and a good good month of April. It's gonna be a fun month here at Bryant and me, so we'll be on the listen for more good stuff from us coming up. We love every single one of you guys. Please get gun control now, for the love of God.
It's just mental health, Bryant. That's all it is, right?
Yes, and guns.
Mostly the guns part. Yeah,
mostly guns.
Yeah. Well, adios.
Bye, y'all.